Now it's cold, it's sweet, it's ice cream and sorbet, semifreddo, English pudding, custard. The list goes on for this week's edition of Food Friday. We're making some delicious frozen desserts for the heat of August. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite frozen dessert? Something you can't get enough of? Do you make your own ice cream or other frozen treat at home? Love to hear about it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you have a question about ice cream making, our guest might just have an answer. 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Bruce Weinstein is a chef and co-author of over 35 cookbooks, along with Mark Scarborough, including several books on frozen desserts. Their latest book is Instant Pot Bible, Copycat Recipes. They have a podcast called Cooking with Bruce and Mark. Bruce, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, Rob, my pleasure.
You've written a bunch of cookbooks, three of them, I think, on frozen treats. Clearly, you have at least some love for this genre of cooking.
Yeah, my first cookbook ever was The Ultimate Ice Cream Book. So it was published in 1999, pre-internet, pre-digital. The book is still selling strong, still doing well. My best-selling book to date. And it led to The Ultimate Frozen Dessert Book. And then one of my favorites, A La Mode, where we gave 60 pairings of recipes, 60 cakes, pastries, and 60 ice creams to go with them.
What is the secret to matching? This comes up at a lot of birthday parties, to matching a perfect cake with a perfect ice cream.
Well, there's no such thing as the wrong ice cream, so you could pretty much put any ice cream on any cake, but it's getting those flavors right, like a dark Linzer cookie, a Linzer cookie tart with, you know, tart raspberry flavors with a dark chocolate gelato, you know, or you do a dried fruit pie with a pistachio ice cream. So it's getting those flavor combinations that are just right.
We are talking to Bruce Weinstein on this week's edition of Food Friday. It is a special frozen treat edition to mark the beginning of August. And we want to hear from the ice cream makers out there, or custard makers, or you name it. Do you do it at home? How big a rigmarole is it? Do you have a favorite flavor, a favorite recipe? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Bruce Weinstein with us talking about these frozen treats, author of a whole bunch of cookbooks, co-author, I should say, including a few on delicious frozen desserts. May have answers to your questions if there's something that just doesn't come out right with your home ice cream projects. Call in at 800-642-1234. Bruce, I got to admit, for some reason in my head, an ice cream maker is this like arcane Area 51 technology that only pros are supposed to use. I look online. They're not that expensive. They're not that complicated. Can you make the case for taking the plunge and getting some kind of home ice cream maker?
Yeah, and it used to be that getting an ice cream maker that didn't require salt and ice was really high tech. You know, the kind with the built-in compressor, they've gotten so much less expensive and they're so easy to use. And also, if you're the kind of person that always has room in your freezer for something, there are lots of ice cream makers that have a container that you store in the freezer and then you put that in the machine and there's no need to plug it in or do anything else. That frozen container will freeze your ice cream as it churns. And there is nothing like making your own. It is better than anything you could buy at the store. So you should go ahead and buy yourself an ice cream machine, and those containers that you freeze and keep frozen, they make the best wine cooler for champagne and white wine.
Ooh. Now let's talk about some specifics of ice cream making. One recipe from one of your books, strawberry ice cream Philadelphia style. I know about Philadelphia style cream cheese. What's Philadelphia style ice cream? I think we lost Bruce there. Do you hear me, Bruce? Nope, we're breaking up again. We're going to take a little break now. In the meantime, I will invite you to call in at 800-642-1234. If you are an ice cream maker, love to hear the stories of your ice cream making. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can get your call in or your comment in while we reconnect with our guest. Again, 800-642-1234 is the number to call on this edition of Food Friday. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. It's this week's edition of Food Friday with a focus on delicious frozen desserts and the making of ice cream. You could join in if you have some experience making ice cream. Some questions for our guest at 800-642-1234. Cookbook co-author Bruce Weinstein is with us. He's made many a frozen treat over the span of his career. Bruce, we lost connection there. We were talking about that strawberry ice cream, Philadelphia style ice cream, strawberry flavor. Tell us a little about that.
Well, Philadelphia style ice cream is the old fashioned, no egg ice. It's not a frozen custard. It's simply your cream, your sugar, and whatever flavoring, in this case, strawberries. It's so easy to make. Yes, you still need an ice cream machine, but it is the freshest, brightest, most purest form of ice cream.
And what other styles of, now straight up ice cream, before we get into the worlds of sorbets and custards and things like that, are there other non-Philadelphia things that we would call ice cream?
Well, sure. Once you add eggs into the mix, you do end up with a frozen custard-based ice cream, which is what most people think of as ice cream when they eat ice cream. Now, that's made with cream, and it's made with some eggs. Now, when you go to Europe and you talk about gelato, their version of ice cream actually has no cream in it. In Italy, gelato is made strictly with whole milk and lots of egg yolks. But the thing is, in Europe, whole milk has a slightly higher fat content than it does in the U.S. So when we make gelato here, the way to get it right, the trick, is to add a little tiny touch of cream to your whole milk to bring the milk fat content up a little bit.
Now, I've done a lot of editions of Food Friday over the years. I don't run into words that are new to me that often, but here is one, semifreddo.
Semifreddo.
Yeah, what is this?
It just means, in Italian, that just means partially frozen. So semifreddo is like the most amazing dessert. It's an ice cream style dessert that you don't need a machine for. Ooh. You can put it into a loaf pan and freeze it, and then you slice it, and it's kind of like a cross between marshmallow and ice cream and meringue, and you could have it plain. You could flavor it with chocolate or nuts or nougat, and it is so simple to make, and you don't need a machine, and it is one of my favorite frozen desserts.
Okay, I'm a little offended that nobody told me about this because it sounds awesome. What
it is,
and
awesome.
It seems pretty simple to make. Just talk us through the process of what are we combining and how long do we freeze it, that kind of thing.
There are basically three components to making a semifreddo: whipped cream, which gets folded in. You need egg yolks beaten with sugar over hot water. Basically, you're making like a zabaione, which is that Italian egg yolk custard dessert, and then you need a meringue, egg whites that are beaten with sugar. So you fold those three components together, the meringue, the beaten egg yolks, and the whipped cream, along with other flavorings, whether you're having a raspberry puree or melted chocolate. You line a loaf pan with plastic wrap, you put that in, you freeze it for at least 6 to 8 hours, and then you slice it, and you have the most amazing frozen dessert ever.
That sounds fantastic. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Matt is with us in Alloway. Matt, hi.
Hi. I'm wondering if your guest has tried any of the Mexican ice creams from the paleterias that are coming up here in Wisconsin. We've got at least three of them here in Green Bay. And what I like about them is that they have a lot fewer chocolate flavors and a lot more interesting flavors, like you can get tequila ice cream, you can get a mango ice cream or lychee ice cream. What do you think?
Matt, thanks for the call. Mexican ice cream, Bruce.
Well, I've never been to one of those paleterias in Wisconsin. I have been to a few in New York, and you're right, I do find that they often carry a lot of fruit flavors as opposed to the nuts and the chocolates. I do actually find that quite interesting about Mexican ice creams, that they are more fruit flavor based. When I'm going for a paleta, you know, the ice cream on a stick, I actually like the fruit without the cream. I like the frozen juices and the frozen watermelon ice and the mango ice. That's what quenches my parched throat when it's really hot out and I want something fruity.
Matt, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Hope you're not like slamming chocolate, Matt, because there are some fans here. We are talking about frozen desserts on Food Friday. Bruce Weinstein is with us. He's written many cookbooks, including a few on the topic of frozen desserts. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite kind of ice cream or sorbet? Or, hey, we're in Wisconsin. custard. Do you make your own of any of those? Call in and share your experiences at 800-642-1234. So Bruce, talking about these fruit flavors makes me think of sorbets. What goes into making a sorbet?
Well, at its core, simplest place, a sorbet is just fruit and some sort of sugar. For instance, like a raspberry sorbet, you would puree raspberries, and then you would add in sugar, maybe a little corn syrup, which I know sounds, ooh, corn syrup, why are you adding that? Well, it gives it a certain texture that's really good. Sometimes a little extra water is added with the sugar to make a sugar syrup. So it's going to be sweetened fruit. Again, you're going to have to put that into an ice cream machine to get the creamy texture you're looking for in a sorbet. If you just put it into a container that you freeze and scrape it off the top, then you end up with a very coarse, icy dessert, which is much closer to what would be known as a granita or grains. And that's how you can make the difference between a granita and a sorbet is mostly that one is put into an ice cream machine and it gets smooth as air is mixed into it while it's frozen, and the other is frozen hard and it's scraped up.
Now, you've written a lot about frozen desserts. As I mentioned, are there common, you know, mistakes or problems people run into when making ice cream, et cetera, in their ice cream makers?
Well, one of the things that people complain about is that sometimes their machines don't really freeze. It just never takes too long. Or if they have the kind of machine they keep in the freezer, by the time it's cool, you know, by the time it's warmed up and lost its freeze and lost its mojo, the ice cream hasn't firmed up. You must chill your ice cream mixture down. It must be refrigerator cold before it goes into any style of ice cream machine. It'll keep the machine from having to overwork. It'll freeze faster. And also, the faster it freezes, the less air gets churned into it while it's freezing. And that's the difference between premium ice cream and less than premium ice cream. When you buy a super premium ice cream in the supermarket, it's dense, it's chewy. I mean, even go back to the original when Häagen-Dazs first came out. It had such a different texture than, you know, the store brand ice cream that came in those, you know, rectangular cartons. If you let that thaw in the sink, you'll end up with a container full of foam because there's so much air mixed into it. So you, as quickly as possible, to get as little air mixed in as you can.
All right, now here's another category I'm not familiar with, a British pudding. This is a frozen thing. And when I think of pudding in England, I think of like Yorkshire pudding, which is a whole different thing. That's not even in our conversation here. What do we mean by a British pudding in this context?
Well, a summer pudding is actually not frozen, but what I do is I serve that with ice cream. And so in my book, A La Mode, there's a recipe for summer pudding. Summer pudding is a fabulous summertime dessert. It's layered like in a baking dish or a souffle dish of literally slices of white bread with a mixture of fresh berries that are cooked with sugar, so like you're making a jam. And you layer the bread and the jam mixture, and you let that chill overnight, and then you unmold that. So you have this beautiful sort of untoasted bread jam cake. And I love to serve either a semifreddo on top of that, and we just talked about what that is, or I used with the simplest vanilla ice cream. And that is a dessert worthy of any summer.
Talking to Bruce Weinstein, cookbook author. We're looking at frozen desserts, making our own ice creams and custards and sorbets and you name it. And you can name it. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. Do you make ice cream at home? Are you making some right now or maybe plans this weekend? Do you have favorite kinds of ice cream to eat, no matter who makes it? A favorite flavor, a favorite style? And do you have questions for our guests to help up your home ice cream game? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Bruce, you just mentioned vanilla ice cream. And I know some connoisseurs, if they want to compare one ice cream maker to another, they'll stack up vanilla versus vanilla to see who does it best. What is the key to a great vanilla ice cream?
The key to a great vanilla ice cream is going to be the quality of your vanilla. And vanilla runs the range from artificial vanilla flavors, which some can be pretty good, to pure vanilla, double strength vanilla, triple strength vanilla. The purity and the quality of your vanilla will dictate everything in your vanilla ice cream. And I have to say, I discovered something new in this last week. Where I live in rural New England, there is a little wonderful creamery that makes ice cream. And I stopped last week to get some for company that was coming for dinner. And they had a flavor I hadn't seen before. And they just called it sweet cream. And basically, it's, he said it's their vanilla base without the vanilla. And it was truly amazing. It just tasted of dairy. It was just sweet, and it the sweetness came also just from the cream, which was farm fresh. So you want to go for purity of ice cream.
Wow.
Try a vanilla ice cream without the vanilla.
I think we might be able to find some fresh cream here in Wisconsin to try that with.
I think you can.
Just a hunch. That sounds great. Now, people get, I won't say weird, but experimental with flavors. Like one of my colleagues here was on the show talking about, we did a show on garlic, and she talked about making garlic ice cream, which I know. But you got it. This actually sounds pretty good. You've done a sweet potato ice cream, which I could see working pretty well. What do you think?
Yeah, sweet potatoes are wonderful because they're creamy and they're smooth. They're used a lot in Asian desserts. And, you know, here in the U.S., we usually think of sweet potato pie, and that's sort of the end of it. But in Asia, they use yellow sweet potatoes, orange sweet potatoes, purple sweet potatoes. They put them in custards and puddings. They put them in baked things. So I decided I was just going to put sweet cooked sweet potato into an ice cream base, and it made it richer, and it gave it a depth of flavor, and it almost had hints of caramel. It was absolutely an amazing addition.
Now, have you tried any flavoring of ice creams that, you know, you regretted? Like, yeah, maybe there is something, just because we can do it doesn't mean we should.
Well, I'm a big believer in that. If you like something, you should do it. So it's there. Really, nothing is off bounds. But you mentioned garlic ice cream. I have to say I'm not a huge fan. It tastes a little like, you know, a frozen sauce that should be on a chicken breast, for my taste. In testing recipes for that first ice cream book, I had to go through quite a few tries to get my lavender ice cream right, because it just, you know, the tiniest bit was all it needed. And of course, you start with a lot, just like as if I'm making chocolate or coffee. And I had to keep coming back because it was just a little too bathroom deodorizer for me. But in the end, came out with it just right.
Now, I peeked around online at ice cream makers before the show, and I'm sure I'll see ads for them for years to come. But you could spend, you know, $37, or you could spend over $500. If somebody's out there thinking, I want to get an ice cream maker, how do you assess whether to go all in like that or start cheaper or what?
You know, you have to go by first what are you comfortable affording. If spending $500 on a machine, you know, is something you could do without thinking about it, well, then by all means, do it. If you like gadgets, if you like playing with new machines, then go for that. If you're someone who doesn't like electronics and doesn't like gadgets, or if you're someone who doesn't like to cook a lot and you think, well, maybe you'll make ice cream once or twice, go for the cheaper machine. If you're someone who loves ice cream, you love to cook, you know this is something you're going to be doing, then spend a little more.
Oh, I should ask about, again, given this is Wisconsin, making our own custard. You mentioned the addition of eggs to that basic ice cream recipe technically turns it into custard. Does the addition of eggs change the process much at all?
Well, you still, when you make Philadelphia ice cream, you heat the cream up, because by heating the cream with the sugar, you get a better texture once it's cooled down and chilled. The only thing you have to do when you're adding eggs is you want to make sure that you cook it to a safe temperature point, which is going to be 140 degrees. And it has to stay there for a few minutes to make sure that the eggs are safe. Otherwise, a lot of people can't eat raw eggs or shouldn't eat raw eggs if they have immune issues. So you just want to make sure your eggs are completely cooked through. And all of my recipes tell you how to do that. So if you follow my recipes, they are safe to eat. The eggs will all be cooked through.
Excellent. Now, our producer, Colleen Leahy, says some of the best ice cream she ever had was in Door County here in Wisconsin. It was a goat's milk ice cream. Mm. Have you worked with non-cow milk in ice cream?
I have. It's funny you should mention that, because I did write a book a few years ago called Goat Meat Milk Cheese, and it was the first ever all-goat cookbook.
Wow.
And although we didn't make goat ice cream for that book, we have a whole chapter in that book on cooking with goat milk. And so making ice creams with alternative milks is easy. It's easy to substitute for. You can make, you know, vegan ice creams with nut milks. I do that all the time. I use oat milk, I use almond milk, coconut milk. So goat milk is just a perfect extension of what you can do with ice cream.
And when we're using things other than cow milk, like, do you have to adjust the other ingredients to calibrate in any way? I guess I'm thinking especially of the, you know, the non-dairy milks, the vegan milks.
If you're using the non-dairy milks, you want to make sure that you're looking for unsweetened and unflavored varieties, because you can get, you know, containers of almond milk and oat milk that are vanilla and they're pretty sweet. And that will affect your recipe because you're already adding flavors and sugar to your recipe. So if you're going to substitute non-dairy milks, make sure you're looking for unsweetened and plain.
That sounds pretty good. Okay. Are there any like experiments out there you'd recommend people with ice cream makers try? Stuff that might not be on people's radar.
Well, you know, you can always... Here's something I absolutely love. If you're like me, you have at least once in your life left the ice cream out, you forgot to put it back, and it's completely melted. Or you got stuck in traffic, and by the time you got home, the ice cream you bought at the store was liquid. You know what? If you have an ice cream machine, pour that liquid back into your ice cream machine and turn it on. Turn it back into ice cream.
Time for one more caller. Anne is with us in Amory. Anne, hi.
Hi there. I'm calling because I'm quite interested in this book. I've not made ice cream, but my husband's a fan of the ice cream. And I would think it'd be fun to try my own.
All right.
So I needed to start with, I read the book first.
Okay, and thanks for the call. Bruce, what I know some of your frozen dessert books are out of print. Is there a title Anne can look
the
for,
ultimate,
though?
Yes, the Ultimate Ice Cream Book is in print. It is available. It is the first and the best ice cream book that I've written. And it, you know, there's a reason that, you know, we were on QVC with that book when it first came out in 99. And there's a reason that book has sold over 300,000 copies. It is a great ice cream cookbook.
And thanks a lot for the call, The Ultimate Ice Cream Book. You can look for that. Bruce, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Bruce Weinstein, frozen dessert lover, ice cream maker, author of The Ultimate Ice Cream Book, among many other books he's co-authored, along with Mark Scarborough. We talked about making our own ice cream and ice cream comparable items on this week's edition of Food Friday. If you have a favorite, maybe a favorite recipe or a favorite one to eat, you can share it with us. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org.